You know, last week we were talking about the difference between the heart and the spirit. We looked at Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, joints and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And we went through that. I'm not even going to go back and review any of that. But I said I wanted to take it one step further. And, you know, they asked me what the title is. And, you know, my title is... I don't know. No. My title is Don't Let the Devil Mess With Your Mind. Okay? Because we looked at our spirit, and our spirits are sanctified, set apart in the name of Jesus. Our only requirement is to read the Word of God and build our spirit. On the other hand, the only way the devil's going to get to you is through your mind. Everybody say, through my mind. In Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And that phrase, wiles of the devil, and this little phrase will give you insight to how the devil operates in a person's life. All right? And that's what I want to talk about, because we talked about the spirit. We talked about the difference between the soul and the spirit, and how it's all contained in our heart. But I want to talk about how the devil, and I'm not giving him any glory. We want to, if you looked on Facebook this morning, you saw a little post out there, "The devil said what?" And the little guy was rolling around laughing on the floor, okay? Because the only way he gets to you is through your mind and through your emotions, all right? And it's simple. But yet a lot of people fall prey to that. It's life-changing if you get a hold of these truths. And you just can't get a hold of them one time, come to church one time. This would probably be a two-part message anyway. Because, you know, it's something you have to work every day in your life. Because there's always opportunities that the devil will put in front of you, thoughts that'll come your way. And if you're not careful, you don't have a... We say some of the dumbest things sometimes, you know. I'll just give you an example. We'll say something like, "Well, that's just killing me." You say, "Well, that's nothing." Well, it is something. Because your words have power. They create thoughts. I have a sermon that's, I forgot, and it's about, Paul is talking about what you saw me do. See, when you say a word, whatever it is, a thought comes to your mind, and you articulate that thought in words, you're planting a seed, and you start to envision these things in your life. Are you following me? And that's what the devil does. And as we look at this morning, you'll understand that just a little bit more, I hope. All right, see, first of all, the devil has no right to operate in a believer's life unless we open the door for him. And most of us open up the door not by being grossly disobedient. We open the door by the things that come out of our mouth. Things that seem insignificant to you, but they're not to him. Hello. Thank you. You know? And if we keep the wrong attitudes, then it makes it easy for the devil come in. If we get a right attitude, it makes it extremely hard for him to come in, all right? And he'll find entrance into your life, into your family, into your friendships, relationships, health, finances, ministry, and or business. He'll do it. And keeping the devil out of your life now is a whole lot easier than when he gets in. Because when he gets in, you have to do a When he gets a foothold, you got a lot of uprooting to do. And man, that's hard. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may stand against the wiles of the devil." The word wiles, interesting word. It's a Greek word. It's spelled M-E-T-H-O-D-O-S. It's a compound word of two Greek words, all right? And actually, the first part of it means with, meta means with, and otis means road. And if you look at the word, and you drop a couple letters off, it's and add a letter, it spells method. All right? So what's it? Beware of the methods of the devil. That's what Paul is telling us in this verse of Scripture. A road. It's with a road. See, we think Satan has a big bag of tricks to come at us. Satan has one way to get to you. Through your emotions and through your mind. Through your thoughts. We read the Hebrews chapter 4, the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need to guard them. That's why the Word of God separates the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we know what we should think about, what we should talk about, what we shouldn't talk about. Amen? So the wiles of the devil with the road. And it means literally with the road. And again, it's where we get the word method. And as I said, there's only one method that he uses, and it's your thought realm. You know, years ago we used to talk about breaking down principalities, mights, and dominions, and spiritual warfare in heavenly places, and people went berserk, you know, renting airplanes, climbing up the Empire State Building, and speaking. Friend, let me tell you something. They are so goofy. I'll never forget, we were sitting in a Brother Hagin meeting, camp meeting, 1990, I think. My kids were in school. And people literally came in with fatigues on, combat boots, hat, said, spiritual warrior. And it was one of them meetings. Kenneth Copeland was sitting in the second to the last row of this meeting. And these people sat in front of him, and he just went like this. Shook his head. People get goofy. And then a guy like Rick Renner came along. And Brother Hagin, I'll never forget, Brother Hagin started teaching that night. And he started teaching from Rick Renner's book about spiritual warfare. How spiritual warfare takes place between your two ears. Not someplace out in the spirit realm where people are trying to get, right between your two ears, in your mind. That's where your spiritual warfare is. Hello? In the thought realm. So we have to change. That's why, you know, we say, always telling people to read the Word of God, meditate in the Word of God, because that's the only way you're going to combat the spiritual warfare that's going on in your brain with the thoughts and things that Satan's trying to bring to you. Amen. So again, it's a simple meaning with a road. It seems strange, but I'm sorry to tell you, when you connect it to the devil, you find out that he only travels one way to get into you, and it's through your mind. All right, and I know people over the years have many imaginary ways of how they think the devil finds access to their lives. But the word is very specific. It's a method, and the method is with thoughts and actions that take place in your mind. All right, let me give you an example, okay? Suppose you were going to take a trip. It's logical to get now we have a GPS, but you can't always trust them either. You get a map, and you take your trip. You go, point A, point B, I want to get there. Unless you're like some people, well, they just get in the car and I'm going to go to New York. And they head south on the parkway. I'm going to go to Manhattan. They head west. They end up in Manhattan, Kansas. There's a real place, Manhattan, Kansas. They call it the Little Apple. My friend pastors a church there, Sterling. But if you don't plan, you just get in the car and you just take any old road. You're not going to get where you're going. Am I right? We plan. We want to get there. Well, guess what? Satan doesn't just take any old road to get to you. He's got one way to do it. He's got a plot. He's got a plan. He's got a map. And he knows just how to get to you. Amen. And that's the whole idea of methodos, that word, that Greek word, method. You know, he doesn't waste time. He's not sitting there just wasting time. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he wants to go. He knows he wants to wreck your life. He knows he wants to make you a basket case. He doesn't go up there. I know a lot of times you'll plug something in the GPS and it has like one blue line, then it has a bunch of, you know, 5 minutes slower, 8 minutes faster. Not the devil. Fastest road, no tolls to get to you. That's how he works. All right? So now you got to ask yourself this question, and it's a pretty logical question. Where is he traveling to? And what's he want to do? What's he want to do when he gets there? Well, there's another interesting verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians, and I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices." So we quote that all the time. We tell people, oh, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices and so forth. Well, see, when we're going to look at that word devices, because that's a pretty tricky word. We know he's on a road, and now he has devices on the road, all right? And the word devices actually comes from a Greek word that means mind or intellect, okay? So in other words, we aren't ignorant of Satan's mind, all right? We're not ignorant of it. We're not ignorant how Satan schemes and thinks. Some people are. But we shouldn't be, because we have the Word of God, all right? That exposes him. But this word denotes that it's a manipulative plot that he uses in our life to fill our life with confusion. And the mind is the arena where Satan feels himself most comfortable with most people. He knows that if he can access one's minds and emotions, guess what? It's very likely he will bring them into a snare and entrap you. One writer said that word, nomata, it's called N-O-E-M-A-T-A, depicts Satan, not only depicts his scheming mind, but it's his subtle way of victimizing someone else's mind. So what are you saying? It's like somebody coming up to you and saying something. Satan will use somebody to victimize you. And they don't even know they're doing it. They mean well. Maybe. Or whatever. You know, it's like a Job's comforter. They were trying to victimize Job. But it didn't work. So one expositor says the word devices can carry the notation of mind games. So what we have, we're not ignorant of Satan's mind games. He plays a mind game with you. My wife had an interesting little story that happened to her. I'm not going to share the whole thing. But she has got this thought. She saw something and got a thought. And she took a thought. She took it. And she was like running with it. And she was beating it down, only to find out that her thought was in the toilet. Totally 180 degrees of what she was thinking. Amazing. But see, she could have dwelt on that thought and said something to someone about it and caused a big problem. And that's what Satan does. Causes you to think on stuff that is absolutely not true. That's why he is a liar. The devil said what? Ha ha ha. All right. But so he's crafty, he's subtle. He victimizes us through our mind. So and I like that, because that translation, mind games, identifies the primary destination of the devil, your head. All right? That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, casting down all the matter. I don't even like to admit to anyone, unless I know them and I could, and they're a person of faith and I could tell them what I'm going, I don't even say what's wrong. I don't even give a hint that something is wrong. Unless I could sit down with somebody and say, you know, I'd like to talk to you. I need some prayer. But if somebody comes up to me, how's it going? I'm gonna go, well, could be better. None of your business. Me and God are working that one out, and we're fighting the devil. I'm casting down imagination. I won, but I'm casting down imaginations. I'm not going to give, what's the matter? And before you know it, you're spilling the beans to them, and they're feeling sorry for you, and the thoughts start coming, and you're just a basket case. Instead of putting your big boy pants on, as Pastor Eddie says, put your big boy pants on, man up, and speak the word of God. And cast down the imagination. That simple. But everybody wants to feel good. Touchy. Feely touchy. He just wants to, and it's just getting into your mind and feeling it with lying emotions, false perceptions, and confusion. When I start to get confused, I don't like say anything, because then I start to try to figure it out in my own power, and it's 180 degrees in the opposite direction of the way God was going to do it. But I'll fix it. Call me Tony the Fixer. It doesn't work that way. God will take care of it. No matter what you're going through. And so he says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity. That means you got to take that thought captive. And the way you do that, you take it, you make it captive. Now you get the word of God. They're your bricks. And you build a castle around that thought. So it can't get out there. But that's okay. Don't worry about it, because the devil's going to bring another thought. So you got to get another crew out there and put some more word around it. And you keep doing that till, guess what? He says, I can't get to them. Amen. Then he'll look for another way. And he makes a playground out of your mind. It's like his jungle gym. He goes from thought to thought. He delights in filling you with false perceptions. And illusions, and they paralyze you, captivate you, and ultimately will destroy you. And we can't let that happen, you know? So rather than fall victim to Satan's devices, we need to make a mental decision to take charge of your mind and your emotions, and to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, because if you make that decision and fill your mind with the Word of God, then it will be impossible, absolutely impossible, for the devil to penetrate your mentality, you mentally and emotionally. Just won't be able to do it. Can't never let him bring you into the realm of the arena of unbelief, the arena of fear and confusion. Can't do that. It'll ruin us. You need to drag him into the arena of faith, because then he's done. He's a cooked goose, man. I'm telling you. And just put faith on him. You know, people say, oh, the devil's been chasing me. What are you letting him chase you for? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And when people say, that sounds so spiritual. The devil's chasing me. Maybe you need to stop, jump around, and yell at him. He'll go away. You use the name of Jesus. Oh, no, the devil's been, he's been chasing me all week. Oh, the devil was knocking on my door. Well, don't answer it. Makes sense to me, you know. Now, who was it? Don Francisco, he had a song called The Package years ago, and it was a song about the devil dropping a package off his door, and he wouldn't accept it. People accept it like it's FedEx. Amazon's coming. And they run out there, look it, and the devil got you this big old package. package of fear and unbelief and doubt. We sign for it. Okay. Mark 11, chapter 11. I'm just going to go a little bit further, okay? Huh? Return to sender. That's it. Elvis Presley had it right. Return to sender. Anyway, Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Familiar verse of Scripture. Everybody knows that Scripture. All right? And it says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says." Now, that verse of Scripture, we use that about faith, don't we? On the positive side. But that verse works on the negative side. And if you've been coming here for any amount of time, you understand that I have my own translation of that verse. Okay? But it's Jesus is saying, whatever you say and believe in your heart, positive or negative, will come to pass. Now, people don't like to hear that. So, you know, and I say it this way, for surely, this is my translation, I didn't write it down, I just said, "For surely, I am setting in place building blocks for you, that whoever commands this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he commands will be done, he will have whatever he comes out of his mouth." Amen. That's my translation of that verse, according to the Greek words. Whatever you command out of your mouth, you're getting. Whether it's positive or whether it's negative. So you can sit there and go, "Oh, I don't believe this bad thing. This is going to happen. The doctor says I have this. I don't know what I'm going to do." Well, guess what? Sit back. You're getting it. People go, "I don't like that." G-O-D, 1-800-GOD. Call them and tell them. Amen. But see, that and that whole thing works both ways, on the negative and the positive. And it's important that we get that. We have to understand, Jesus, if we believe in our heart, really believe in our heart, we have rhema knowledge of that, that we know that Jesus purchased healing for us. And we know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. And you start confessing that with your mouth, it is going to change things in the spirit realm. It'll change things in the spirit realm, and it will change things in the physical realm also. The same way people believe, but they know that they're traveling to California, and they know that somewhere in Arkansas their car is going to break. They just know the water pump's going to go. Then why'd you take the trip? So you can get stuck in Arkansas with a broken water pump, and they see the Yankee coming? They go, They just see a dollar sign coming in their door. No, but, how many's ever said that? How many's ever had, that maybe not a water pump, but something. I just know this car's not going to make it. Oh, none of you. Yeah, sure. I just know this car's not going to make it. I get in the car and I say, "Car, you're making it." See, creative power is released when the heart and the mouth get into agreement. You know, that's why we have to be careful of what you believe, okay, in your heart. I mean, you really need to put a guard over what you let in That's why, you know, and I'm not coming against, you know, the music of today or anything like that, but a lot of that stuff is hate, unbelief in people, is let young people, older people, letting that come into their, they're letting that in. That's why they're having problems like in Virginia. There's so much hate because people let it in. And so we have to be careful as believers what we let in. We can't let doubt, unbelief into our lives. We just can't do it. Because when your heart and your mouth get in one accord, things are going to happen, whether negative or positive. It's the heart-mouth connection. What comes in your, what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And you could bring healing to your body, salvation to your family, growth to your church, prosperity to your business by watching what you're speaking. And again, as I said it before, it applies to the negative realm, and the devil knows how to use this principle against you. He knows if he can fill your heart and your mind with negative thoughts that it's gonna, you'll start confessing negative things. And negative things will start to happen in your life. It's lies. They're just lies of the devil. And if he gets you to embrace them, these images, these mental images that come across you, they'll start, you'll start speaking those negative images. And it will come to pass. I think it was Jesus that said this. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I think Jesus said. I know it's in red in my Bible, so I just figured that was Jesus. Right? What's ever in your heart is eventually going to come out of your mouth. That's it. If there's doubt will come out. That's in the, thank you. I was going to get to that. People talk to me. You know, people just talk to talk. You know what the Bible says? Seriously, you know what the Word of God says? Study to be quiet. Why do you think they even said that? Because people talk too much. So he says, study to be quiet. People know how to be quiet. You try to say something and people don't listen to what you say anymore. Because they already, you say three words and they already have their rebuttal. They never even heard you finish what they're saying. Which could have been the answer to their problem. So what they do is they interrupt. That is a pet peeve that I have when people just interrupt. When people, and I just, you know what? And I get angry, so I get louder. Shut up! If you shut up for 5 minutes, you'd learn something. People, they forgot how to hear. They lost the art of listening. It's an art to listen to what somebody's saying. Well, Mark chapter 11 verse 23, man, Brother Hagin had that one figured out. And whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, it's going to come to pass. That's, you can believe it or not believe it, that's up to you, but that's the Word of God and that's the truth. All right, and sometimes it's hard to control your mouth. Yeah. People start running out their mouth and say any old little thing. And that's playing with fire. It's a scientific fact, too, that what you verbally say out loud verifies and empowers itself in your mind. Why do you think they made you say the times tables? Huh? Two plus, no, that's two times two is four. 4 plus 2. See, I didn't ever do that. So I have a problem. Isn't 2 times 2 4? Okay. See, all right. 2 times 4 is 8. So you had to remember them things. Now the kids today, they don't have to remember that. They got calculators. Ah, that new math. 2 plus 2 equals 10. Oh, yeah, no, it don't. Yes, it does. I say it does. So now it equals 10. That's the new math. Couldn't understand. My grandkids used to come home, and Joey's kids would come home, and I'd look at this thing. I'm going, how could they figure it? I don't know what they're talking about. I used to call up the teacher. I said, not for nothing, you know, I'm 68 years old. I don't know what you're trying to teach this kid here, but you better explain it to me so I could explain it to him, because it makes absolutely no sense to me. And they start laughing. They go, that's the new math. Great. Who's the genius behind this one? Anyway, but anyway, that's why the devil wants to you to repeat every stupid thing that he puts in your mind. Sometimes you just got to be quiet. Don't open up your mouth. And really, you want to. And sometimes you just need to, don't repeat it out loud. Because the devil has if the devil has a stronghold in your mind, then guess what? It's only a matter of time till he starts controlling you like a puppet. The emotional strings, you do become an emotional puppet. And whatever controls your mind controls your emotions. And whatever controls your emotions has the supreme power to affect your self-image. You hear so much about the self-image stuff. It's only because people think stupid things. They've never been reinforced with positive images. You know, because they watch television, and if you're not like Twiggy, something's the matter with you. Well, what if I want to be like John Candy? He had a positive image. He was always laughing. No, I got to be like some skinny guy. You could blow over. So what happens, people look at that. Young girls, young guys, they look at this guys and they, that's the image I want to be. Well, it might not be a healthy image. Do you know what I'm saying? And so the devil gets a stronghold. So when we have people who are anorexic, people who are bulimic, why? Because they want to be like the other person. And the thoughts come that I can't eat, I can't do this, I have to do that. I ate a watermelon and now I got to like throw up. And they have all these things. I had a niece that was that way. Thank God she's like 50 some years old now. She's not like that no more, but she had a problem. She wouldn't eat. She was like, they used to drive the family crazy over that. So because somebody told her she was fat. I say it this way, fat's your friend. Okay. But so it has to, it'll have affect it'll affect your self-image, number one. It'll affect your marriage, your friendships, your relationships, and how you project yourselves to others. And the list just goes on and on and on and on and on. That's why we have to take these thoughts and stuff that come into our mind, you know. And that's just another reason to stay in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. You know what it says? It says, and be renewed. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind needs to be removed. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. See, God's word, if you get anything out of today, watch what you say, and God's word will supernaturally cleanse your mind. Amen. It's like the OxyClean of the mind, the word of God. It washes your mind and it washes your emotions from the contamination of the world. The memories of your past. Some people had bad past experiences. And the lies that the devil has tried to put on you to tell them that you're not worth anything. I used to have a friend of mine. who was a minister, and he used to say, and he had overcome, and he did overcome this, but he used to say, and I'm not going to say his name, but he would say, oh, you're a so-and-so, and they never amount to nothing. And he had a problem, and he overcame it, but yeah, because he went to Bible school and everything, but he used to say, well, you're a so-and-so, and everybody say, yours, they never amount to anything. He goes, and nobody in my family ever amounted to nothing. So he had a lot of uprooting to do, because he was brought up with that. He had a lot of uprooting to do, and today he did amount to something. He's a minister, he travels, he's doing great. But he had to overcome that image. I had to overcome an image too. I had a lousy, bad self-image. You have no idea. You haven't never been around my two brothers. I don't care. I hope they hear it. I hope one of you are watching. Because you don't let me open up my mouth when I'm in front of you. Now you don't have no choice. Zoom in. No, anyway, I just give you a little quick example, all right, yesterday, and I'll bring this to an end real quick. My brother looked at me and goes, you lost some weight. I said, yeah. So I heard him and his wife talking. They were standing on the boardwalk there near his going up to his office, and she goes, oh, and they're talking about barbecue. I said, what are you barbecuing? She goes, lamb chops. I go, they are really got to. She goes, oh, I cut the fat off the lamb chops. I says, fat's your friend. And this is the truth. This is nuts. I said, what? She goes, you're going to drop dead of a heart attack. I said, He goes, and my brother, I can't repeat what he said, but that's another point. So I said, listen, say what you want. I said, I dropped 25 pounds. My cholesterol, everything, my triglycerides, everything went back to normal, and all I eat is coconut oil, butter, and olive oil, and steak, and fish. You're going to drop dead. I said, fat's your friend. So about 45 minutes later, I'm getting ready to leave, and my brother comes walking over from one of the food stands, and he's got a hamburger with no bread. Because I told him, I said, I stopped eating bread and pasta. And also I said, fat's your friend, isn't it? But they think you're nuts. They think I'm crazy. So I said that because I was always, you know, I'm 68 years old. I'm going to be 69, okay? Think about this. I'm on a boardwalk. The mayor of the boardwalk comes up, Point Pleasant. I'm standing here with my brother. He goes, hi, this is my brother, my kid brother. I said, I'm 68 year old. He goes, well, you're still my kid brother. I'm 85. But, you know, so you got this, like, that's what I had to overcome. All right? So for those of you who think this is just natural, no. My mother, God bless her heart, when she was alive, she used to sit in the front row and goes, I can't believe he's up there talking. He never said nothing. He used to sit like a wallflower, she used to go, like a lump on a log, just sit there, never open up his mouth. She goes, now he don't ever shut up. It was waiting to happen. But make it a priority to fill your mind with the truth from God's word. It makes it difficult for the enemy to come in. It's not going to say he's not going to try, because he will try. But failure to do that, fill your mind, will result. Fill your mind with God's word results in catastrophic, thank you, things in your life by not doing that, okay? And a person's mind is renewed on the word of God, gets so straightened and girded up that he or she is harder to deceive. And Satan just can't deceive you anymore. I mean, you're going to be filled with something anyway, right? Why not be filled with the Word of God? Why not control what you're putting in your mind? Anybody goes on a diet, you control what you put in your mouth. Control what you put in your mind. You need to feed your mind with good things, healthy things. All right? Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, God has provided so much in His Word to safeguard you and me and protect us, and that there is no need for the devil to clobber us. No need to do it, because He's given us a fail-safe, a safeguard, the Word of God, and it builds you and guarantee that the devil cannot get to you, because the only way he's getting to you is through your mind.